in this on the Ukrainian government side. So the violence, it comes from certain sectors. Now, if we look at the far right, if you removed them from the scene, you would still have a very large protest. So I really think this is a much more mainstream protest.
Well, wait a minute. I didn't understand
elements in it.
That conclusion that you made from Pavel Felgenhauer is not what I understood. But Pavel Felgenhauer, you didn't say that there's extremist groups coming out from the governments. I believe that you said that there are extremist groups that are out there.
No, there are the so-called tetushki, as they're known in Ukraine, which are kind of criminal elements for the hire, which act as provocateurs. At least there have been serious accusations that they're active, and apparently they are active. So they are an additional, totally unpredictable factor in it, because they can create provocations. They can even shoot on police sometimes, maybe, to create havoc. And so this is a very, very complicated situation. And of course, those in the West who say that Viktor Yanukovych is a pro-Russian stooge, it's not really so. He's not totally a Russian stooge. At least many in Moscow don't like him or don't trust him. And he's very corrupt.
So let me jump in here, Pavel. I'm sorry, Pavel Felgenhauer. When you say he's not totally pro-Russian, so what are you saying? He's 70% pro-Russian, 50% pro-Russian, half-half? I mean, break that down for us.
Well, I mean, Yanukovych is pro-Yanukovych. And his corrupt regime has created this mass protest, indeed, because people are fed up with the corruption, with the corrupt police knocking down small businessmen or actually ordinary people for bribes. This society and this regime is a very rotten regime. And Yanukovych right now has some support from Moscow, but it's the support simply because he is kind of, from our point of view, the best of the worst. But no one really trusts him, and everyone, it's quite understood in Moscow that he is not the best person to lead Ukraine, and that he is very much responsible for what's happening right now, for this bloodbath that is happening in Ukraine.
Well, let's look here, Peter Sinnott, at some of the statements coming from Russia, but not recent one. I'd like to go back to what Russian President Vladimir Putin said, I believe, when he was in Yerevan. And I'm asking you, I'm going to say this because I want to ask from you, how far is Russia going to go to keep Ukraine? Vladimir Putin came out and said that the West has lost in Ukraine, and meanwhile accused the West of smuggling arms, narcotics, counterfeit currency, and trained fighters to overthrow Yanukovych and his government. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't. I think that this is a situation where, if we look in the last few hours and last few days, Putin's approach was first to throw a lot of money, a huge loan, to the Yanukovych regime. Now they've backed away from that, saying that they want, a spokesman of Putin saying they don't want to throw money into the air. So I think if we keep in mind that one of the basis of this revolution was the attempt for Russia to build its own sort of union, economic union of trading conditions with Belarus, Ukraine, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, and so on, as a way of basically having an alternative to the European Union. If we go back to that point, this then becomes something that is not so much about being against Russia, but being trying to put Ukraine into the European sphere. And I see this as the real basis of the protest. The regime is very corrupt, and it has, in many ways, those that surround Yanukovych have looted the country. And that is why this is a popular revolution, I believe. And I believe the idea that it's simply between Russia and the West is not really accurate. This is the Ukraine's own social revolution right now, political revolution. It's not Russia's. Russia, it will not be able to play a significant role There are certain elements that are of the Ukrainian state which are very they're Spetsnaz and all these sorts of special forces. Well, they've already been deployed.
Okay.
But when you have the Ukrainian army elements surrendering, it says it's a popular revolution.
Very well. Well, tonight, unlike other nights, if I'm looking down this list correctly, we're going to take a quick timeout. Usually we run with three viewer comments, but I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them, since it indicates there were so many of them. Let's take a listen to some of them as posted on our Facebook page.
Ukraine is the new subject of regime change. Another Western regime change plot. Only Ukraine military can fix this problem. The best thing Yanukovych could do, given his decision to break up the protests, would be to announce his resignation to pave the way for early presidential elections. Otherwise, he risks similar fate that befell his Egyptian counterpart, that is Hosni Mubarak. It's the Bolshevik Revolution all over again. Except this one has the full backing of Mossad. The US and the EU are doing exactly what they did to Syria, now to Ukraine. These 3,000 armed radicals do not represent 40 million Ukrainians. Another US-sponsored fake revolt.
Just some of the viewer comments there. Pavel Filgenhauer, I'd like to get your reaction to what one of our viewer comments said there. About the U.S. and the EU doing exactly what they did to Syria regarding these armed radicals. Putin did say events in Ukraine are not a revolution but organized crimes by well-organized groups of fighters. Is that the case?
Well, the U.S. did not create the situation in Syria, actually. The Syrian situation was created by Syrians to begin with. Maybe some other closer powers, but the West was ambivalent from the beginning and never fully supported any party in the Syrian conflict. As right now, actually, the West and Europe are taken aback by the terrible events in Kyiv and don't know really what to do because, of course, getting really closely, especially militarily involved, is impossible for Western powers. Actually, it's not very possible for Russia, too. Today's Russia is not the Soviet Union of Joseph Stalin. We don't have those tens and hundreds of divisions to move them somewhere. So the outside world right now is standing in a way and actually not understanding what they should do to stop this carnage developing in Ukraine. It's the Ukrainian crisis is basically Ukrainian-based. All the talk of foreign intervention, actually as in Syria, foreign intervention is a fact, but it began inside, and in Ukraine it began inside, and only the Ukrainians in the end may find some kind of solution to this crisis, and this most likely it will. Actually, many commentators in Moscow understand that the Yanukovych regime has very little chances of survival. It does not really have popular support, and its military support is also very limited. They can't control properly the capital, and especially they can't control the entire country. So Ukraine will most likely move forward, but to a situation of most likely serious further crisis and strife and maybe even bloodshed.
Well, there's a big problem here, Peter Sinnott, because I'd like to use this example. Dmitry Yarosh, he's a leader of this far-right militant group by the name of Pravi Sector. Now, he has said that he's ready for an armed struggle. He actually has said that he has amassed a lethal arsenal of weapons enough to defend all of Ukraine. But at the same time, at least it appears on the surface, he's not aligned with the opposition. The opposition doesn't mind, obviously, this armed fight that he's putting up against the government of Yanukovych. That's their common goal. But they're not; they don't see eye to eye politically. So they're not going to, since they're involved, they're not going to just give up their armed struggle were Yanukovych to be replaced. So doesn't that make it for a complex situation? Shouldn't this situation be diffused right away?
It is a complex situation, and I'm not sure the other opposition are backing him at all now. I would expect formal statements disavowing any alliance with him. I think his forces are much smaller. He claims very large everything. He claims a large arsenal, he claims large forces. I doubt that. I think that this is because there are many intellectual elements. There are very many economic representatives. There is a very broad base in this Ukrainian revolution. And his is just a small faction, and it cannot survive any kind of democratic vote. So they are making a big noise now, but their role is actually small. And I believe quite seriously that this, because this is a broad-based revolution, he and his supporters will not be popularly elected and will not have support from the other opposition parties, even in this time of crisis.
Very well. Unfortunately, going to have to leave it there. Thank you very much. Political commentator Pavel Felgenhauer spoke to us from Moscow. And you were just listening to Peter Sinnott, who's an independent scholar, talking to us from New York. Any questions or comments, do send them to newsroom@presstv.ir. Repeat of the program. Also on our website, allthews.presstv.com. From Mikhail Tahoye and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.